Blog Talk Radio.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Christmas. I hope everyone had a wonderful day, and I hope that life was good to you. And Santa. I have to say and Santa. It's just me. But I hope everyone's doing well, and I hope you're all enjoying the beginning of this holiday season. I know the beginning was back when everybody started shopping, but that's the frustrating part of the holiday season. This is like smooth sailing now, right? We've done the Christmas. We've done the dinner, at least most of all of us have, I think. And now we're slide into the new year. Hopefully that'll be a good one, too. Ah, just saying. Hint, 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 Father Time. Can we make it a good one, please? Hi, Pam. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Had a wonderful day. You know, good food, company over. You know, the only thing that went slightly off as planned was that my son Gideon couldn't make it because he came down with a bug and didn't want to, yeah. So, you know, but But that was just him. I still had, you know, my two girls over and, you know, the, and, you know, it was just really nice, really, really good. And everybody liked their gifts. And the only thing is I made a joke that I think I was drinking too much wine when I was wrapping presents, because I kept having presents where I had forgotten to write names on it. So I'd have to slightly open it to peek inside to figure out who it was.
That is too funny. My God.
And how was your day? How was your day going?
My day was pretty good. My leg was driving me crazy today, but that's not really the hit or miss of it. I got dinner made, and we had there was only a few of us. There was, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 of us. Presents went over well. We had, we hit the ham. Pineapple stuffing turned out good. I hope yours did.
You know what?
Maybe you didn't.
I did not look, you know, because in my head I was thinking that pineapple stuffing was something that you whipped together real quick. I did not realize you had to bake it for a full, like, hour, you know, like when you make bread pudding. And so everything else was done, all practically done, and I was like, looked at the recipe, and then I was like, oh, well, I guess this isn't going to work. So I'm saving it just simply for, I'll make it tomorrow.
Well, see, here's the trick. You should have thrown it in the oven and let it cook for that hour, because I'm telling you, it makes a wonderful dessert, too. Just saying.
Yeah,
it's really good for dessert, too. I don't know anybody out there that's listening. If you've ever had pineapple stuffing,
exactly.
It is so good. Sweet
and
yummy.
It looks delicious. And like I had said before, too, I really love bread pudding. So I figure I can make it tomorrow. Oh, and one of my gifts I got from Chuck was a coffee caramel sauce.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
I look forward to putting all over everything. So.
look out, fellas. She said everything. Just saying.
Yes.
And I got to say, hey, Gray, welcome to the party. A Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Gray.
Christmas, Bill. Merry Christmas, Pam.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, Gray. It's another Merry Christmas day.
Absolutely.
Lots of fun. How was your day? Tell me your bright spot of your day. Was Santa good to you?
Was
Santa good? Very good. Very good. Did you cook or did your mom cook? I'm nosy.
My mom cooked, yeah.
Yeah? Ooh, yeah. I like mom cooking. Yeah, my mom used to make a mean Christmas dinner. Absolutely. But, I'm glad you're here. And Pam, I'm glad you're here. And I don't know. I think Rex is going to be here. He's nice. And I don't think Laurent's going to make it. I haven't heard a peep out of him. So, you know, forewarned is forearmed. So, well, he said that he was going to be kind of busy tonight and today, and then he was calling in an early night because he has to get up way early tomorrow to do a few things. So, doesn't surprise me. I just wasn't positive because he didn't say, you know, I'm not going to be able to do the show. You know, if you tell me that, then I'm like, yeah, okay. Otherwise, I'm not sure, so. Because I don't like to assume anything. Because we all know what happens when we assume. I'm not going to say that on air because it's Christmas Day. I'm going to be good. But, hey, speaking of devil and up he jumps. I mean, no. Yeah, I mentioned Rex's name, and who shows up on the board? Rex!
Right. His ears must have been burning.
Well, maybe. Oh, wait, I have to unmute him.
Might help.
Wow.
I guess the devil's in the house.
Hey, Rex, Merry Christmas.
Hello.
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas, everybody.
See, that's the Tiny Tim version. Merry Christmas, everyone. See?
God bless us, everyone.
Yeah, every two, too. Oh, I don't know. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. Rex, you have a good day?
Yes. It's been,
very good.
Let's see, about 70 degrees. So it was a nice day.
Oh, God. I'm jealous.
Promised to be that way for the next 10.
Oh, God. It was not cold, but it was rainy and damp here today. And that just messes up my world. But, you know, guys, can I tell you? Robbie cracked me up. Did you see what he wrote in the room? He says, muting the devil. Now that's power. I love it. Sorry. I thought it was so funny. Okay, I'll be good now. Oh, my gosh. Never mind. I was blessed. Dazed and confused. It doesn't take much for me. Everybody, why are you all so quiet?
Because
you're talking? If we talked over you, you'd be asking us why we're talking over you.
No, I wouldn't.
At least.
Not even. I mean, I was making something funny, that's all. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I must have missed what you said.
What
exactly. Sorry.
Yeah. I just read what Robbie wrote in the room. That was all.
Oh,
nothing.
Yes.
Muting the devil.
I laughed out loud. I was muted when I laughed, so, yeah. It was funny, though. Mm. It was. You have that kind of power.
No, not really, but it sounds good. I like it. God, to have that kind of power, wouldn't that be good?
Right.
I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see. I think. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing next. That's hard for me. I think we're going to start out with this classic poem. And, Gray, I'm going to ask you if you would read it. This is called A Boy of Christmas.
Okay, this is A Boy at Christmas by Edgar Albert Guest. If I could have my wish tonight, it would not be for wealth or fame. It would be for some delight that men who live in luxury claim. But it would be that at 3 or 4 a.m. to see with eager, happy, boyish eyes my presence on the Christmas tree. Throughout this world there is no joy. I know now I am growing gray. So rich is just being a boy, a little boy on Christmas Day. I'd like once more to stand and gaze enraptured on a tinseled tree with eyes that know just how to blaze, a heart still turned to ecstasy. I'd like to feel the old delight, the surging thrills within me come, to love a thing with all my might, to grasp the pleasure of a drum, to know the meaning of a toy, a meaning lost to mind blasé, to be just once again a boy, a little boy on Christmas Day. I'd like to see a pair of skates the way they looked to me back then, before I turned from boyhood skates and marched into the world of men. I'd like to see a jackknife too, with those same eager dancing eyes that couldn't falter blemish view. I'd like to feel the same surprise, the pleasure free from all alloy that has forever passed away when I was just a little boy and had my faith in Christmas Day. Oh, little laughing roguish lad, the king that rules across the sea, to give his scepter if he had such joy as now belongs to thee. And beards of gray would give their gold and all the honors they possess once more within their grasp to hold thy present key of happiness. Earth stands no greater, sure joy as too soon, thou, as I shall say, than that of him who is a boy, a little boy on Christmas Day. End poem.
Nice read, Gray. Really nice job. Nice job. Yeah, that was a good one. Pam, what you think? Usually make Pam pick out anything like this.
I really enjoyed this. I like there's a real sense of innocence about it. You know, how the things that boys would want back then, like, you know, the joys of a pair of skates, a drum, you know, and even I like that he brings up the jackknife. I'd like to see a jackknife, too, with these same eager dancing eyes that couldn't fault or blemish you. I'd like to feel the same surprise, the pleasure free from all alloy that was forever passed away when I was a little boy and had my faith in Christmas Day. You know, it's like, I like that it's somebody looking back, and it's not just about the gifts, though, the physical gifts, but rather the gifts of the birth of Christ and, you know, the celebration of it. But the looking back to me really looks at the way how our faith in people, our faith in life in general and in the holiday season, our point of view oftentimes really changes, and we wish we could go back to having that exuberance, that joy, that faith of a child. I just had, you know, wonderful rhyme and flow. I think it's definitely just an excellent classic poem and very well done, and a great read by Gray.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice. Rex, what'd you think?
It's kind of bittersweet. There's that note to looking back through time with jaded eyes of age and hitting on that note of seeing once more with unjaded eyes of youth, yet coming across as not being jaded at all, but just expressing a dual point of personality from youth to age and understanding, yeah, things were a lot better, a little more at ease through youth as opposed to walking through life's older shoes and finding out what really lies beyond the realm of youth.
Right. You know, it's funny, when Gray was reading that, and thank you, Rex, for the comment, in the back of my head, I kind of think Laurent read that poem last year. And it was totally not intentional on my part. But as I'm listening to it, I'm like, it's sounding kind of familiar, you know? And I thought that was kind of, well, I can tell you it's pretty ironic because, you know, I was just traveling down a path all my own. So I thought, you know, Laurent always has a mission in mind. Me, I just kind of went and found it. So that's kind of interesting. But I thought it was, I'm kind of with you, Rex. I think it's a little bittersweet, but it was really nicely written. And, you know, I guess this a decent poet, you know, all the way around, everything I've read of his anyhow. And, so it was nice, and I thought it really fit the kind of thought for the day. It's Christmas, you know. Everything that has anything to do with Christmas fits the day. You know how it is. Silly me. Let's see, where do we want to go? I think I'll go to Pam. Miss Pam. What you want to do?
Yep, we're good.
What's that? Did you say?
Oh, I said yepperditties.
No wonder I didn't know what the hell you said. that would not have been a guess. Okay, I have one for you to read, and this was by Jebo UK.
All right. Christmas in the 1940s by Jebo UK, and it goes like this. Three little children at Christmas, our daddy away at the war. Hitler had bombed the supply ships. There wasn't many goods in the store. Our mom was very inventive when we were asleep in the night. From scraps, she fashioned us teddies, ensuring our Christmas delight. She also made us rag dollies with plaits that she twined out of wool, stitching big smiles on their faces making sure our days were not dull. Sometimes we got little extras as well as the things that she made, coloring books or some marbles with which we could tentatively play. Our tree was a branch in a bucket. We'd no fancy baubles or lights. We'd make some fairies from cardboard with crayons. We colored them bright. Mom talked a lot about Daddy, though Ev never once showed us her pain, how worried she was for safety, for see him again. These are my memories of Christmas. Sweet Mother made sure it was fun. We'd lots of love and excitement as magic around us was she spun. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Really nice read. Gray, what you think?
Well, I thought you did a beautiful job reading that, Pam. And, you know, this really is a touching memory street that she's taken us down of the joy felt at Christmas time with this mom that's working so hard behind the scenes. And, you know, to feel that love is a beautiful thing. And I thought she captured the melancholy of the father not being there quite beautifully, too. Just a fabulous write.
Absolutely. Great comment, Gray. How about you, Rex?
Reminds me of another story she had in one of her pieces about the German pilot that had the parachute out, and he got captured, and the lady scoffed the parachute to make some clothes for the kids. So you do what you do in times such as these with what you have in the moment, and that's what keeps it forever a memory that you cherish, because you know, things weren't all that great, times were tough. This was during the bombings, you had the V2s running out, so those little good festive memories you remember long into the night, even though they were the smallest of times, they were also some of the warmest because of those notes to the specialty in them.
Right. Now, did you say B2 was running out? B2.
V2.
You didn't do that. B2? V2? Who? Never mind. Oh, my God. Pam, what did you think? Pam is like, what is she talking about? Look, it's Christmas Day. I'm being silly. Don't make me bring out the aviation gin. Is she? Pam, are you here?
Away.
Pam dropped. Why? What happened? I'm all steady talking that's in air.
Sorry, my call was dropped.
Well, welcome back.
I'm back.
My
call just all of a sudden dropped, so sorry about that. But I really enjoy Jabo's poetry. Just wonderful rhyme and flow. I she's got a gift for telling a story in rhyme without feeling like you lose the essence of the story. And I like when she takes it. She's an extremely talented poet. And as I said in my old comment, you know, I really enjoy when she shares her memories with us. And she reminds us, you know, that it is possible, no matter what's going on in the world, to appreciate and enjoy what you have. You know, and not only is this her personal history, but it takes us back in history to a time when many children, many people were lacking in supplies because of such a big war going on and so much being lost. And then it's not just about that Christmas didn't have a lot, it's that their father wasn't home. And the real what's really to be appreciated about this story is how her mother spun that magic and shared with her children the love and excitement and kept her pain to herself. You know, I just think that makes it such a profound and heartfelt write, and it's very well done.
Amen. Amen. Jabo's work is always incredible. You're right, Pam. She always tells the story in rhyme. It never seems forced. It doesn't lose any of the impact of the story itself or the poem, however you want to word that. It makes it, I don't know, it just rolls through your mind, and it and you just absorb so much of really what was going on. And I think that she is an incredible poet, absolutely. And I love when we get some of her work on the shows because it's special, you know. It's pretty incredible. So I want to thank you, Jabbo, for letting us read this. It was just really, really nicely done. It was a pleasure to hear it this evening. So excellent job. Absolutely. Let me see now. Oh, I got one for Rex. Yes, I do.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Here we go.
One Large Dude Wearing Bright Red by Roland Stone. Poems be written upon this season. Santa's round as the moon wreathed in light. He'll leave you some magic where shiny bells ring at night. Down from the sky a sled descends with our legend of whimsical laughter. One Large Dude Wearing Bright Red. As smiling parents hang stockings of color, warm embers of coal stoke the fire. Little children hoping for reindeer dreams. Bright trees blink as they're wrapped in sleep. When morning comes, many gifts will tease. As he arrives, comes a whisper. To my surprise, he tells me to hush. A familiar tone with his loving chuckle. A quiet, oh, how old we've both grown. We speak of life and good fortune like two little children of giddy good fun. How reasons are special this time of season, laughing and glee, Christmas is believing. We smiled our smiles and warmly agreed. And poem.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read. Pam, want to start us off on this one?
Absolutely. First of all, I just love that title. It cracks me up. Wonderful read by Rex. I like how he takes us into a classic poem feel with As Smiling Parents Hang Stockings of Color, Warm Embers of Coal Stoke the Fire. And I like that. And I like how in the end of that stanza, when he says, when morning comes, many gifts will tease. It's off, because the children, they wake up early, they see those gifts, they so badly want to open it, but there's always things that they have to wait for. I like how, it's a great write all the way through. It has a wonderful flow, a really nice meter to it. I like that he reminds us in the end lines that Christmas is not just about good fortune, but rather it's that spirit of believing, that spirit of, giving smiles and giving a warmth. So just wonderful lines and very well done.
Ah, very good, very good. How about Gray? You want to tell us something about it?
Sure, that was a great read, Rex. And, the poem is touching, especially in the last stanza where it says, we speak of life and good fortune like two little children of goody good fun. How reasons are special this time of season. Laughing and glee, Christmas is believing. We smiled our smiles and warmly agreed. And I thought it was wonderful. Great.
Great comment, Greg. Great comment. Rex, how about you?
It's kind of what that last stanza kind of hits on that note of somebody's forgotten in the moment. And this is just a kind of reminder of like the dream with Scrooge about the ghosts of past, present, and future. Maybe this is just the thought he needed right in the moment to bring back that thought of Christmas is believing, because he hits on like two little children, giddy good fun. There's that note of reminiscence to what it once was. So it kind of hits on that notion. Maybe this is something needed later on in life to remind him of what once was and what still is.
Nice. Nice comment. I kind of like this. I like the intro into it. Those first four lines gave you something to like, kind of, where is it going with this one? You know, the title was good. It was unique. It was different. But then poems be written upon the season. Santa's round as the moon, weathered in light, or wreathed in light. My goodness, wait, let me make it a little bigger. Wow. He'll leave you some magic where shiny bells ring at night. And it's like, okay, where is this going to go? You figure it's going to be one of those every Christmas season holiday poems, you know? But it kind of didn't do that, you know? Because Roland has a different way of saying things, and I think he did a wonderful job, and I think it was very cool. Cool beans. Cool beans. Let me see now. Yeah, Pam is going to be right back, so I'm not going to talk to myself. Not going to do it. She must have known it was her wreath. She ran off on me. Just kidding. Okay. This next poem that I am going to put up is Merry Christmas, Betty Page. She sent me a note. Okay, this one is by Lulu G, and it's called Hope. I'm going to make it where even my old ratty eyes can read it. Okay, Hope by Lulu G. At 5:05, when I rose from sleep, the dawning of Christmas was snow ankle deep. On hearing commotions, I crept down the stairs, expecting a burglar to catch unawares. Intently I listened. Oh my, what a shock. I saw Father Christmas there picking our lock. I'm no thief, he sighed. Please don't be afraid. I bring Christmas tidings with postage prepaid. His coat of soft velvet was ancient and red, and snowy white pom-poms he wore on his head. Then brushed from his knapsack for under the tree, a doll for my daughter and perfume for me. 'Twas then I saw a wriggle from under his hat, the sweetest dear puppy that fell to the mat. We both stood there laughing as puppy ran free to play with a bauble hung low on the tree. And there in the lamplight, he held out his hand to whisper a secret not long ago planned. This puppy is special to watch over you with friendship and comfort. You'll rarely feel blue. With tears in my eye and a wag from his tail, I cradled the puppy, so small and so pale. Your daughter lies poorly, I heard Santa say, and your husband's at war, so can't get away. He wrote you were lonely, and would I call in, 'cause maybe sometime for he sees all his kin. He thought a cute puppy might help ease your pain until he can hold you close to him again. This puppy will help you through hard times ahead, for hope is her namesake, so keep her well fed. Come, dry all your tears now, you've plenty to do. Hope needs a cool drink and something to chew. 'Twas then we heard calling from Rudolph outside for Santa to hurry and quicken his stride. He shook all the sleigh bells whilst I dried a tear as Santa was whispering, I'll see you next year. And poem. I like that poem a lot. I did. Okay. Greg, you want to start us off?
Sure. You did a beautiful job reading that, Bill. And the poem is touching, you know. It's beautiful to do with the puppy being brought by Santa for the father or. And I thought it was just a beautifully well laid out poem with excellent flow and just a beautiful job.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that. And Rex, how about you?
It's got that nice rhythm, rhyme, and flow of a 100-year-old poem, but brought forth to this day and age. It kind of rings on that note of a Christmas story that you tell in this type of form, and it just lends an ear to the magic in the moment, especially the thought with the puppy was a nice angle thrown in, and then that thought with the back end heard Rudolph calling outside for Santa to hurry and quicken his stride. That was a nice. It hits on that note of A Night Before Christmas, but walks a different tone in something that everybody can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It it kind of gives you the vibe of The Night Before Christmas, but it comes in from
yes,
a whole different angle.
Yes, very much.
And it definitely...
Yeah, and this took it with the woman who couldn't sleep for various odd reasons. Well, got one kid sick. Husband's at war, so things are not as what they would purportedly be most Christmases for people. So,
absolutely, tough spot. That's just a tough spot for people in general. But yeah, I think that Lulu did a great job with this, and I, you know, it was one of those you just couldn't resist. It was like yeah, I want that on there, most definitely. So let me see, Pam, are you back, honey?
I am. I was actually back when you were still reading the poem. I just, you know, for some reason people are breaking up, and I thought if I hang up and shut down my phone and turn it back on, because sometimes that works, that maybe that would make a difference. But, yeah, I really liked this. I liked what you and Rex had to say about it being similar to The Night Before Christmas. It actually reminds me, though, of a story I read. I think it was in one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book, where this woman got a puppy delivered for Christmas because her boyfriend her fiancé, who had been dying of cancer, had set it up ahead of time because he knew that he would be most likely dead before the next Christmas. And so he had, you know, purchased the puppy, set it up to be delivered on Christmas to her, you know. And so it made me think of that, and it made me think of, you know, how, you know, a puppy, a dog, a pet of any kind can bring so much joy and a sense of to a family, and especially a family that's going through a tragedy, like a loved one at war or a loved one passed away, and I have to agree, beautiful flow that gives it a classic feel. So wonderful write and very well done.
Well, that was the premise they used to start off John Wick, the first movie.
Oh yeah,
the wife died and she sent him a puppy 2 weeks later.
Oh geez, yeah. Yeah, I've seen different, different scenarios and different themes without puppies, you know, where things have been set up in advance, you know, to make an impact. And that one movie alone, P.S. I Love You, was all about that. But there's been quite a few scenarios like that. And they're always, they're always touching because, you know, it's a kind of an incredible thing to imagine someone in a position putting together, you know. Anyway, yeah, great comments, everybody. Thanks, Lulu. That's good old Lulu. I love that. That was such a neat poem. Miss Pam? Okay, I'm going to get you to read the next one.
Yep. All right.
There you go.
No Mallow by LG, and it goes like this. Sun kitchen shelf that grandma fills with home-baked goods. She packs with shortbread cookie wealth at Christmas for the neighborhood. Her black with mistletoe has inner seal that snaps airtight. He carries gifts wrapped up in bows and wears flaked scarf red, green, and white. When days are rushed, you're running late without a break or tea. Some cookies on a bus at sea.
Okay, Pam, we're losing you.
With puffy cheeks, and cheerful grin and poem.
Oh, my. You kept cutting out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's what everybody's been doing to me, is just kind of cutting out.
Right.
So, sorry about that.
That's why I'm wondering. That's okay. I'm just wondering if anybody else heard it, because I haven't heard anybody else cutting out, so I'm not a good judge. Okay, well, maybe I'm cutting out.
Yeah, it was cutting out.
Okay.
For me too.
Okay, thanks, Gray. I was starting to wonder if I was even here. Am I here? When I heard Pam, it was a great read, so I give you kudos on that. Gray, do you want to come in on the piece?
Sure. That was a beautiful read, Pam. And I really liked the poem, you know. You see, after the prompt beautifully, and, you know, when days are rushed, you're running late without a break for lunch or tea. Some cookies on a paper plate can save a life that's lost at sea. He's a snow mallow, sweet Mars's kin, with puffy cheeks and cheerful grin. Just delightful. Excellent, right?
Nice comment, Greg. And Rex, how about you?
Oh, I like the thought with the snowman as the cookie jar. That's a nice motif, and it does sit well. Hell, you don't even have to put the damn thing away. Just leave it on. You know what? What's in the snowman? Well, lots of cookies. But I like that third stanza hits on them. When days are rushed, you're running late without a break for lunch or tea, some cookies on a paper plate can save a life that's lost at sea. Kind of hits on that notion of the hastiness of the month of December, and there's never enough time. And the snow mallow, God, that had me thinking of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters.
My son, 1 year for Halloween, went out as the Michelin Man, like the snow, the same darn thing. And I just looked at him. He went out in his white jogging suit, and he thought he was going to be. I said, "What are you supposed to be?" I'm the, you know, the Stay Puft for the Michelin Man. I'm like looking at him, going, "Okay, you know, okay." He was, yeah. My son was unique. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. I had to go there. My brain just said, "Go there." I have to agree. I like the idea of the cookie jar, you know, and like you said, that break when you just don't have everything, you know, and you don't have time, and you just grab something on the go. I liked in the last two sentences, he's snow mallow, sweet marshes kin. So marshmallow, snow mallow, you know, it was cute. It was really cute. Nice job. And nice work, LG. And thanks for letting us read it. Nice job. Definitely. Yeah. Pam, did I ask you? No, I didn't ask you.
You did not. And can you hear me clearly?
I can.
Wonderful. I thought this was a really nicely written sonnet. At least it appears, I think, yeah, it's a sonnet. It's wonderful because it brings back those good memories of a cookie jar. My great-grandmother had a cookie jar that was in the shape of a tree stump with different little animals surrounding it. And she always, you know, until she started suffering from, you know, Alzheimer's, had it filled with cookies. And you know, there's something just, you know, the thing about cookies is there's something you can share with everyone. You bake them up, you hand out a plate to the neighbors, your grandkids or kids stop by, you know, they reach in the cookie jar because they know that treat is there. You know, it's just absolutely delightful and beautifully done.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a clever, and it was a cute piece. There was a lot of, a lot of good lines throughout. So nice work, LG, and thanks for letting us, like I said, you know, letting us read it. Now let me see what's going on over here. Look, you wild dove. Oh, guess who's here? Hi, Lou.
Hey, everybody.
Lou.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Hi. Happy holidays to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. You pushy butt. Sorry, Phil. He kept texting me.
Well,
I'm going to have to block him on some nights.
Well, I'm kind of glad he did because it got you here with us. See, that was good. Right? So
yeah.
I can't complain.
Hi, everybody.
did you hear LG's poem, honey? The last one we read.
Okay.
No, did you hear it?
No, I didn't read it. I was the link's too far back.
Okay. No problem. Just wasn't sure.
Thanks.
And they didn't
Sorry.
Really deny you the opportunity. So that was.
Yeah, important. You're breaking up a little bit, Phil. I don't know if anybody else can hear it, but you sound like Morse code.
Oh wow. Okay, well.
Oh, I can hear you good now.
Oh, see that?
Don't move, Phil.
That?
Don't move.
Didn't strike a pose. That's me. Except for I can't hit any buttons. Okay, I have to move. I have to grab poems, otherwise we'll all be sitting here being silly.
I'm just joking.
I know. But you know what? I get abused something awful by you guys. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. You guys are very good to me. I'm just. Let me see now. Well, Lou, since you just got here, I think I'm going to have you read one. I got some. I don't have anything that where she got to roll any R's. Don't all get radical here.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking she just came in the door. She's getting put to work.
Yeah, well, she's such a good reader. I like that.
Reader.
That's right. That's our girl. Okay.
You want me to read this?
Uh-huh.
Did you say me? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. Because I got my headset on and sometimes I can't hear. Winter to Summer's Child. This is a ballad by Way Down Upon Joy. I never saw a snowflake fall, nor felt the string of sleet. I never watched my yard turn white or ice form in the creek. I was a child who never had cold winter kiss her cheek. Christmas time, our palm was trimmed with lights and stars and more, with seashells dangling from the pine outside our southern door. I was a child who grew to love the warm her winter wore. When just a teen, we moved up north and winter showed her face. I loved the way the snow came down, then softly filled up space. It was a wondrous time for me and one I'd soon embrace. At Christmas time, our evergreen filled room with piney scent. When snow piled up to window height to add a compliment. And all I knew was Summer's Child was changed by this event. End poem.
Nice read, Lou. Nice read.
Thank you. Pretty poem.
Thank you. Yeah. I like it. I like Joy's work. Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. There's so many great poems tonight. Way Down Upon Joy is just a very talented poetess. This is like the opposite experience I had when I, at 18, moved from Wisconsin to Texas. But it is interesting when you go from one extreme to the next. And I can just imagine how somebody who grew up around palm trees and in a warm climate, like, you know, Florida or something, would just be absolutely fascinated by the new experience of having snow and ice and and cold weather for Christmas. And just a great write all the way through and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Great comment. Gray, how about you, hon?
I thought it was a beautiful memory to share, you know, that transition from being a summer child to a winter child. It's got to be a fascinating one. It takes me back to, you know, remembering my first big blizzard when the snow was driven to the rooftops almost. And it's just an excellent, right? Beautiful read for you.
Thank you, Bray.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Rex, how about you, hon?
Well, it does talk of that note of the difference between two ends, but also it's on the note of just being a teen and finding that out. But at that age, you look at things a little differently, too. You look at the wonderment as opposed to actually, snow. Get out there, you start with snowballs, you bring out the sleds. With this, as a teen, you look at it differently because you get the, you notice the smells, the sounds, the crunch, everything that comes with it. So it offers up that much more of a glowing angle to play with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that this is a pretty cool poem because, you know, it's that transitional thing where you go from where you don't have snow and you don't have winter and, you know, you're used to having, you know, warmth, you know, year-round. And the next thing you know, you're moving to some place that's like, you want me to who? You know, you look and it's a whole different world. It's like, well, I don't think so. See, I would be that way. I'd be like, why did we do this? You know, can we talk about this? Is there a change possible? Because I really don't care for winter. But I guess having been here in winter most of my life, you know, it's like, wow. But to have it just tossed on me, I think I would be kind of like, I don't think I'd be really graceful about it. Whereas, you know, Joyce, I don't know if I could have been so kind, but definitely a great poem, and I thought it was pretty stunning. I liked the wonderful imagery throughout and everything, so it was just really, really a nice piece. So, Lou, what did you think, hon?
Well, it was a beautiful poem. You know, moving from, like Pam, for Texas to Germany was like going to a different planet, different clothes, the snow, it's just enchanting, you know, watching the snowflakes. I enjoy looking at the different shapes of the snowflakes. You know, it's just gorgeous. The air smells so crisp and clean with the smell of pines. And, you know, the only thing that I can say that I don't like about winter is the black ice. You know, that...
Yeah.
That was terrifying to me when we were on the Autobahn and spun out of control because we hit black ice. But, you know, besides that, other than that, you know, it's just
right.
Being in a warm temperature going to freezing it takes some adjustment. Ugh.
Yeah.
I think I chattered my teeth through all winter.
I don't do winter well. You know,
that's why they start practicing their yodels. Yodel, 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 lady. Keep the chatter in the way.
It was always supposed to be just like, but yeah, it was
going to the cafe and drinking hot coffee and eating. I ate onion pie and rhubarb pie for the first time in my life, and I love German bakeries.
Oh, rhubarb pie is good. Yummy.
Oh, my God. Is it? Well, I didn't know. I didn't want to eat onion pie the first year because I thought, gross. Right? So just give it a try. You know? When in Rome, do as the Romans do. So Romans do. So I gave it a whirl, and I liked it.
Nice. That sounds interesting to me. I've never heard of onion pie.
Yeah, well, yes, I didn't either, and that was just, you know, something. I like onions on liver and onions on steak and, you know. But as a pie?
Yeah, I don't know that I would have thought to do that, but that's pretty cool. It sounds like a, I think
it
would be
it was good. Hot coffee and snow. It was delicious. Hot pretzels. Mm.
Yeah, that sounds well. Okay, enough about food.
I don't know. What do you like? It? It's like
yeah, I'm getting hungry
Damn.
Again.
Mm. Yeah. Mhm. Okay. Well, thank you, Joy, for letting us read your poem tonight. And here we go. We have one for Trey to read. Trey, you all ready? You all ready, bud?
Mm.
Great eyes.
Are you on mute?
Okay. Rudolph the Spotted Reindeer by P. Perry, 898. Donner, Blitzen, were both speechless when they heard the sonic blast. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid were aghast. While poor Santa, he was shell-shocked by the shadow it would cast. Rudolph the Spotted Reindeer had a big calamity. Now he's in bits and pieces. Had a running, D.T. Things all the other reindeer are now gripped in sad dismay. Nicholas is complaining that he had the right of way. On that fog-filled Christmas night in the atmosphere, heard a bang and saw a flash. A spaceship did appear. E.T. was booked for murder, and the jury did agree. What happened to the present is another mystery. On that fog-filled Christmas night in the atmosphere, heard a bang and saw a flash. A spaceship did appear. Was such a horror story. I'm sure you will agree. Rudolph, the flattered reindeer, will go down in his toe-ry. Excellent. And,
are you on mute still?
Maybe she dropped.
I think, okay. I think she meant.
I really was on mute. I really was. I just wasn't. I was dumbstruck, like, okay, dummy, now, like, you know, here we go. Yeah, I asked Rex if he wanted to comment, but he didn't answer, so I was like, why is
that?
Lou kind of broke the surprise.
This is a spot-on parody and done with that notation to, was it a grandma getting run over by a reindeer? It's got that same type of feel for it, but with a... A spaceship E.T. and charged with murder. I like the bottom end. You roll it out with the we'll go down in his story as a finishing note to the parody itself. Nice touch.
Right. I'm kind of confused how. Well, never mind. We won't go there. Great comment. Wow. Yeah, Pam, how about you?
Is that my friend and grandma?
I don't think any of us can tell whose names you're saying, Phil. Sorry.
That's okay. I said your name, Pam.
Okay, because, yeah, you're just going in
maybe
and
I
out.
Should say this. Well, you tell you what, I'll call back. You go ahead and do your comment, and then I'll be right back.
Sure, sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a great poem. It's one of those that's worth hearing over and over again. You know, T. Perry does have a talent for spot-on parodies, and I have to agree with Rex. This is definitely a great combination of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. But I like that what he does is he gives it that science fiction twist, you know, obviously inspired by the artwork, but how much fun. And when sometimes when you throw that much into a write, it gets all cluttered, but here it just really works. It's absolutely delightful fun, brought a smile to my face, and was very well done.
Mm-hmm. Did she say I was delightful? Oh, sorry. I guess she wasn't talking. Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope that's a little better. I do. and great comment, Pam. Really. Thank you. Lou, would you like to comment on this?
Well, actually, I found that Santa was neglectful because if you look at the list of the reindeer, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid. If you notice, Rudolph wasn't there with his red nose. So he had no lights. So how could the UFO not but hit him? He was flying in the dark. So I find him neglectful.
But Rudolph's the one who got splattered.
Yeah, he said he got splattered. He's at the end, of the thing. But I don't know.
You may be onto something there, Lou. You may be onto something.
E.T. better hurry up and phone home so he can get out of there.
Yeah. You better call Scotty.
I know that was a boring joke, but I had to say it.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's see. I had a great comment, correct? No, great Reddit. Gray, what did you think?
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic, right? You know, with the science fiction aspect of it, you know, the CT colliding with Rudolph in their journeys in the atmosphere. And I really liked that ET was booked for murder. The jury did agree. What happened to the presence is another mystery. On that fog-filled Christmas night in the atmosphere, a bang and saw a flash, and a spaceship did appear. Just a fascinating, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. I got such a kick out of it. I thought, wow, this is a good one here. It's nice. Oh, look, Rex is back. Hi, Rex. Welcome home.
Hi, Ro.
You got what? Yeah. I thought it was a good rating. I thought it was funny. When I saw it, I thought it was funny. I'm not sure how I got it for today, and he just wrote it for Rex. So I don't know, Rex. I got confused, really. But but I thought it was great, and I like Pete Parry's work. I think
it might have been the grandma thing.
Well, you call him a grandma? See, here that guy, you called me a grandma.
It had me ringing in that thought of grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, it's funny, but I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with playing it again, Sam. I like it. I like T. Perry's work. I think he's pretty funny when he wants to be. And he has a great, he's funny in some respects and other respects. He'll put a tear in your eye in a heartbeat. But I like his line and it's interesting. He's very good at that. So thank you, Parry. I appreciate letting us read it. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought maybe Rex dropped out because he knew he was going to read next. Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
I'm glad Rudolph's all right. I was nervous. I was. I feel better now. What would Santa be without Rudolph? You know, it wouldn't work well. Anyway, Rex, if I could get you to this one's by
A Norman Rockwell Christmas by Blues Man. A cheerful, warming glow danced across the room as the fire brightly burned, chased away the gloom. Festively adorned in color, the mantle red and green, on both sides of hearth hung, stockings filled with dreams. Crimson and canary, poinsettias in full bloom, filled in every empty space of this cheerfully colored room. Majestic spruce, fully dressed, adornments oh so fair, the familiar scent of Christmas, fresh evergreen, filled the air. Outside the picture window, behind the family tree, snow was falling all around as children screamed with glee. holly sprigs and pinecone wreaths hung from every door, and candy canes on garland chains hung from treetop to the floor. Wrapping paper and ribbons concealed the hidden joys crossed off of a wish list of good little boys, girls and boys. Christmas carolers singing had just left the door. Mom and Dad carried the little ones to their beds on the second floor. Tucking them in with a cheerful grin and loving peck on the cheek. If there's noise on the roof that sounds like a hoof, stay in your beds, don't peek. Yes, Mommy and Daddy, we won't make a noise. We even left cookies and milk for when Santa brings the toys. They closed the door behind them and held each other tight. She said, meet me under the mistletoe and we'll exchange our gifts tonight. They ate the milk and cookies on a table by the tree, a convincing sign Santa was here for the little ones to see. Up the steps to the bedroom, they climbed hand in hand, another successful Christmas, as always lovingly planned. And boom.
Nice job. Nice job, guys. Let me see. Yeah, look at how this thing's all lined up since everybody's playing musical chairs. Silly folks. Greg, can I get you to comment on?
Sure, that was a great read, Rex. But the poem is, you know, it's touching and it's descriptive and it's full of a deep love that these parents have for their kids and the kids for Santa. I thought it was just beautifully done.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks, Greg. How about you, Pam?
I really enjoyed this, and it did, I thought the title was perfect for it because it did bring to mind so many of the Norman Rockwell Christmas paintings. I like how it had a classic feel to it, some wonderful imagery like the holly sprigs and pine cone wreaths hung from every door and candy canes on garland chains hung from treetops to the floor. I also really liked the part where the children said, yes, Mommy and Daddy, we won't make noise. We even left cookies and milk for when Santa brings the toys. Really just a sweet, some sweet lines there and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Lou, how about you, hon?
You know, this is, you know, I agree with Pam. This is a very classic poem. It, you know, it's very nostalgic because this is the way Christmas used to be celebrated. It wasn't all about, you know, which I've mentioned this before, like we see on TV, gold rings, gold jewelry, Lexus, and a new home is what's going to make you happy for Christmas. But really, the memories that we carry with us, especially poets, is that we talk about the past. You know, we talk about how things used to be and how, you know, simple hanging up stockings, you know, putting, you know, people would bring poinsettias. I remember the poinsettias, the flowers, so beautiful, hanging candy canes and making, you know, garland chains, you know, where you would sit there or make popcorn and put popcorn around the tree and, you know, put out the, you know, the milk and cookies and everything and, you know, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for Santa to come. You know, looking out the window, seeing if you could see him fly by. And, you know, it was a to me, this was what family used to be and when family used to come over and how things used to be done, you know, bring small gifts and something to eat and, you know, share the time being with each other versus what was the value of your gift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was a, you know, that time before everything was so commercialized where, you know, everything, it was all money, you know, it was about spending time and making it special. So absolutely. And I think that the title of this piece really suits it well because really, you know, I mean, it's just about all those wonderful home spun memories and thoughts and things. And I thought it was just a great piece. This is not the first or the second time I've seen this. A few of us have probably read it more than twice. But it's a great piece, and it was, well, you know, worth reading tonight for sure. Rex, what did you think?
Well, I think the Norman Rockwell Christmas title was right. I think he led off with that, with the thought of a Norman Rockwell print from the magazines way back in the day, and, mm-hmm. and taking that picture and enhancing it. You look at that first stanza, it kind of offers you that that warmth and greeting, and come on in, and then you you hit the fire, burn brightly, chases away the gloom, a little harshness of winter. Then you get the little look around, festively adorned in color, the mantle red and green. That's the first thing you notice. You got to warm up by the fire. Again, that little invite to come on in. And then you see everything else just kind of lay out as to what that picture, as you start panning the picture itself, the crimson and canary poinsettias, the majestic spruce fully dressed with ornaments, and you smell the pine needles in the air. And then you get the brief look out the window, because that's always the backdrop. You got to have that little window scene there, so you can see the snow falling on the outside while everybody else is rolling into this sort of warmth in the house, which is what's clearly offered. And I like to use only twice. He dropped in inline rhymes to help push the piece along. What was bloody hump? I won't go there. Oh, and candy canes on garland chains hung from a treetop to the floor. And there was one more a little further down, tucking them in with a cheerful grin that helped lead off the next pose, which was putting the kids to bed, tucking them in, and then the mistletoe greeting. Come on, mistletoe, your gift is coming up now. And then the closing note to the evening, which is that kind of wholesome look that Rockwell always endeared his portraits with.
Very true. Nice comments, everybody. Really nice comments. Yeah, that was a good one. Now, I'm a little confused because I'm not going in the right order somehow, because I think I'm a little confused. But, Lou, when was the last time you read? Was it recently?
Well, I think Rex read, Gray read, I read. I think Pam was up next. I don't think she's read lately, right, Pam? I don't want to...
I can
go
agree
with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of bouncing.
Because I honestly...
Go ahead. You honestly...
Oh, go ahead, Pam. But I don't think Pam... I haven't heard Pam read yet.
That's okay.
But I've heard
I'm
Rex and
Pam
Greg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pam, whenever you're ready. Yeah, I usually go straight in order, and somehow I got turned around, so. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready.
You sure she's still on the phone?
I was not on the phone, but now I am. Good call there, Rex. All right. This is Christmas Scented by Virginia Archer, and it goes like this. The scent of sorrow permeated as it stood. Tones accompanying the deep red voice, the calling, pairing, and we're waiting some rum, soaked black cake, no snow.
I think we lost Pam.
I think we did. Okay. I'm going to Velcro her to a chair in a really good spot in the house. So I'm going to do it with Pam. Okay. Well, let me see what we have. Okay. This is called Christmas Scented by Virginia Archer. The scent of sorrow permeated the house as it stood steeping on the stovetop, hard spice undertones accompanying the deep red tone of its voice. The aroma settled around the kitchen, calling parang from pots, and awaiting some rum-soaked black cake. No snow on Caribbean Grand. Just sun-baked dirt, enjoying a respite from another hurricane season. Now simply a memory. Rich red sorrel gives Christmas bounty. Poinsettia and bloom blossoms. The ham will come to lend volume to Christmas morning fragrances while we wait for the yellow yam's firm texture to grace the table.
Mm-hmm.
The wind will bring spray into the room through wide-flung doors, hugging the Atlantic view as frigate birds circle the cactus-laden cliffs of Cassin-Bas Bay, kite surfers mimicking their flight. Snow on the mountain sways in the briny winds. White Christmas. End poem. Okay. Okie dokie. Gray, would you like to start us out on this one?
Sure. Great read, Phil. But this is a visceral poem filled with incredible imagery, and you can smell the rum-soaked cake, and you can feel the breeze that wind, those bees are bringing into the room, wide-flung doors, hugging the Atlantic view as freight birds circle the cactus-laden cliffs of Cassin-Bas Bay, kite surfers mimicking their flight. Yeah, I thought it was just filled with beautiful imagery, and it was a good, wonderful poem.
Nice comment, Gray. And Lou, how about you?
Well, what I did was I had to look at what sorrel is, and what it is it's a drink. It's kind of like, Germany makes the Glühwein, and we drink sangria. And it says that this is a beverage that's served at Christmas time in New York in the Caribbean, and it's ingrained into family traditions. And, this is just a different tradition from a different country. Some of the things, we're all connected in some way. We're eating the turkey or the ham. We're eating the yams. We're all sharing the rum cake. And, this is a different drink. I had never heard of it. And, it's a tradition from the Caribbean islands that I didn't know of. So I actually learned something. Wonderful poem.
Nice, Lou. Thank you. And Rex, how about you?
I like that. The aromas settle around the kitchen, cooling parang from pots and awaiting some rum-soaked black cake. I like the thought in the rum-soaked black cake. That kind of hits me up in a nice morning. Ooh, Caribbean rum bobbins. And the calling parang from the pots, that was a nice touch too. Music from the pots themselves, a nice touch to what's going on in the kitchen, getting everything together. And at Sorrel's also a nice, the leaves have a tart, lemony flavor to them, so they offer a little bit of a bite to that. So, and what else we got here? I did like the back end of this because it is kind of beautiful with the sort of the cactus cliffs, the kite surfers, and having that sea breeze, that warm sea breeze blow in your windows. Even though it's Christmas time, it does lend an air of something very exotic for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment so far, everybody. Pam, how about you?
I thought this was wonderful. A high moon is one of those forms that I haven't tried yet, and I think I'd like to sometime. And I really like how she has the imagery in here, but it's not just about the imagery. It's, as everybody mentions, there's the scents, the flavors. I like that she shows us what celebrating Christmas is like for a different part of the world. I like the delve into the Caribbean Christmas, and the rum-soaked black cake sounds delicious. The ham, I like even how when she mentions the yellow yams, she mentions their firm texture. I thought that was a really nice attention to detail and very well done.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have to agree with everybody. I mean, it was a great story of her area and how they celebrate. And it's so funny because I read sorrel and I was like, okay, and then it was talking red and I'm going, red sorrel. And then when Lou said about the drink, I was like, okay. You see, in the Polish tradition, they make sorrel soup, which is made, the sorrel is green though. So I was like a little confused at first. So it would make sense if they were talking about sorrel and it being red and it being a traditional drink in the Caribbean. And I felt so much better when Rex said, and it's got a lemony flavor. And I'm going, oh,
well,
maybe I'm not crazy.
I think sorrel's part of the rhubarb family, too.
Oh.
Maybe.
I didn't know that.
I made sorrel soup once. It was very good, and it did have like a lemony flavor to it. It was called sourgrass soup is like the long name for it. And in the Jewish culture, they call it shaf. Because I've actually found it, they made it bottled after I tried to make it. I went, oh, God, you know. But it was very interesting. You do, you live and learn, and it definitely had some things to teach us. And I have to say, that cake sounded really good to me, too. What is not to love about rum-soaked cake of any sort?
Rich, yummy.
I think it sounds good to me. But, yeah, it was a really nice part about, you know, such great traditions and things there in the Caribbean. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. And Pam, I think you're the one who found this one, so great job on that.
Great job. Nice. I like that flying sauce a little.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Neutron says the gremlins must know when I'm reading because I'm crystal clear when I'm talking. And I said, I don't think they appreciate my reading.
I don't know. All I know is you've been bouncing on and off an awful lot, Pam. We did some.
I have.
And we're going to put you in the chair right by the antenna for your phone. Okay. Now, let me see now. Our next poem I'm going to put up is by Martha Gettle. And I have that on. Somebody get a drink of water for her. Or Lou, who's coughing? Somebody needs to get a glass of water for her. Okay. Somebody. Yeah. We got to help you out. I'm going to get you a glass of water. I'm going to start Martha's thing and I get you a glass of water. Here we go.
On Christmas Day by Martha Gettle. In a lowly stable far away, our Lord was born on Christmas Day. The angels sang in the heavens there to welcome the baby, sweet and fair. Jesus was born of man, it's true, to bring salvation to me and you. His home in heaven he left behind to come and live with mankind. He became a man, he lived a man's life to show us how to rise above the strife. His Father's love he showed to us all, yet so few there were answered his call. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came to show mankind his worth. Yes, Jesus died to show us the way. And it all began on Christmas Day. He prayed, Father, please take this cup. But I do thy will to show thy love. They nailed nailed him on the cross that day to salvation for us. He opened the way. Jesus waits for us to call his name, to wash from our hearts sin's unholy stain. Open up your heart and let him in. You'll never be alone again. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came to show mankind his worth. Yes, Jesus died to show us the way. And it all began on Christmas Day. He bled and died on the cross that day. He gave his life for our sins to pay. And the door to heaven he opened wide to all who would in his love abide. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came to show mankind his worth. Yes, Jesus died to show us the way. And it all began on Christmas Day. On the third day, he rose to life again. With his death he paid for our sins. He sent the Holy Spirit to us that day to show us how to live our Father's way.
You're mutating, Gene.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I just saw the light blue, and I kind of stopped for a split second to go, wow. okay. Gray, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. You did a wonderful job with a folksy rendition of Jesus Christ's birth on this day and his death on this day. I thought it was just wonderfully done. Excellent, right? Excellent singing. Beautiful job.
Nice comment. Gray, nice comment. Rex, how about you?
A different and fitting song from Martha, yet she still held to the country angle, and it fit with the her chosen end lines. It really hit on that note of being country style. And she told the whole story from start to finish and offered up the thoughts that everybody should go back to that which we once knew and open your minds and your hearts.
Nice comment, Rex. And Pam, how about you?
I liked this. It had a nice flow to it. It had a wonderful, like, it just brings... brings you back to, you know, like church services and classic songs that, you know, told the story of the birth of Jesus. You know, I really liked the chorus, and, you know, I like that she starts it in a lowly stable far away. I thought that was a really nice touch. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Neutron, is that you?
It is indeed.
Wow.
A little down under on the radio.
Well, it's good to have you here. That's so nice.
And I thought I thought I'd take over Lulu's spot because she was having a bit of trouble. So. With the cough.
Poor girl, I was playing with her in the room going, oh, who's coughing? We got to get them some water. And I got her, I hope I didn't offend her because I was playing, you know, good Lord. But she's coughing. But I appreciate you calling in and picking up the spot. We got lots of folding chairs here. Who wants
well, she dropped in a nice line. I'm coughing, Gray not singing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I got that one, I got that one, I got that one. And then I got one for you. Neutron, I'm going to give you a poem to read.
All righty.
And this one is by Pink Fairy Fives.
All right. I'm just bringing it up now. All right. So it's called Christmas Angel's Mission by Pink Fairy Five. Christmas Angel and her little candle aided the creatures of the woods. Empaths were welcome. The forest beings recognized her instantly. Christmas already? A bunny asked her. She smiled at his enthusiasm. What do you need? She asked. Rod said, we can send 3 talents and 2 skills. We have what we need, Bunny said. Why don't you check in the house? 2-legged. Seem to have to be having a tough time this year, a pandemic. Christmas Angel hovered over the house and took their coughs away, scooted the pandemic into a ravine and covered it over with fresh new joy. Anything else? Christmas Angel asked. Can you do this on every continent? Asked the bunny. You mean that pandemic is on all 7 continents? The bunny nodded. Christmas Angel looked at her calendar watch. Only 11 days until 2022. She sounded the alarm and called all the angels to an emergency meeting. Can we eliminate it in a mere 11 days? Newcomer Angel asked. We can do the impossible in 11 days, a sage angel crone told him. After all, God made the world in half that many days. They began searching for ravines. Healing began. So optimism and joy could welcome 2-leggeds on New Year's Day. End poem.
Nice read, Neutron. Nice read. Let me see. Well, great. It brings me to you again. Well, you can't catch a break. You're the first one on.
Wonderful read, Neutron. And I really liked it, you know. I like the storyline. A bunny asked her. She smiled. And, you know, with his enthusiasm, smiled at his enthusiasm. What do you need, he asked. God said, we can send 3 talents and 2 skill. We have what we need, bunny said. Why don't you check out the house? 2-legged seemed to be having a tough time this year, a pandemic. Christmas Angel hovered over the house and took their coughs away, scooted the pandemic into a ravine and covered it over with fresh new joy. You know, how wonderful this story would be if it was true. You know, and a pandemic could be swept away and buried under joy. Fascinating story.
I agree with that. Great job with that comment, Greg. And Rex, how about you?
It's a nice note to the back end of the year, especially after all the fear porn that we get inundated with continuously. It's a nice sort of hope to walk in the new year with that. I mean, I like that picture and what she drew out of it to feed into the next, well, the last week of this year and walking into what the next one has to offer, something a little bit brighter, a little bit nicer, and a little bit warmer.
Nice comment, Rex. And Neutron, what did you think?
I thought it was a touch of wholesomeness that we all kind of need at the moment with this Omicron out and about. And
amen.
I think, you know, there's not much you can do. Even Australia is copping it now with the Omicron, and it just happened so quickly, and I think it's the same on every continent, basically. So if nothing else, let's hope that Omicron is this angel's wish in some respects. It's less it's more virulent, less severe, and let's hope that COVID becomes a thing of the past very soon.
I think you hit that one right, because what this one is, it's going to offer up that thought to herd immunity that gives everybody a breath of relief.
Amen. Yeah, I have to agree. I thought it was a great piece done by Pink Fairy Five. And yeah, wouldn't it be great if that was true? It would just all be gone. I think if that was true, I think maybe it would never have started. How about it? But yeah, I thought it was just a wonderful piece. And it was funny because I looked at this piece and Pam found it and she sent it to me and I was like, wow, she's reading my mind. So yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was a well-written piece. And I thought it had a great place on the Christmas show. I really did. So thank you, Pink Fairy 5, for allowing us to read that tonight. Now, Pam, are you back? Okay. Okay. Well, let me read this one. I'm just going to put it up for Pam. So here we go. This is called A Dickens of a Christmas by Julia Seven. Hopefully I won't flip and flop all over. As I sat in my schoolroom many years ago, it was English lit and we opened our books. My eyes fell on the words that held frightful woe. They gripped my soul like a sharpened hook. Marley was dead. What kind of story is this? Hardly the way to start down Christmas Zone. But I was hooked and fell into the abyss. All the students disappeared, and I was alone. Alone, as I read more and more of the plot, wow, I thought, what a great writer is this. It was the first of Dickens I'd sought, but never again his writings I'd miss. After a while, the story was finished. I deemed it perfect in every way. Whenever I read it, it's never diminished. It's my favorite story to this very day. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without it. Each year, I watch that holiday classic and dream of old London town's Brit who gave to the world Christmas magic. Nice job. End poem. Nicely rhymed. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it. Let me see now. Let's see if I can take the weight off of Gray. Rex, what did you think?
I knew it was coming my way. I like the thought of a tribute to Dickens himself and the fact that you offer up this story as something well worth to read time and time again, because it is a story. I mean, it's got its notes of sadness and the thought of death as well, but and of pain and anxiety. But it all walks to that note in the end where all of a sudden a turn of colored scheme in one person can bring out that much more in everybody else around him, because they actually got into the thought of Christmas spirit instead of being the old codger that he was before he got those three visitors on that long, lonely night.
Nice. Nice comment, Rex. Great job. And Neutron, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoy the way that she's touched on those Christmas traditions that everyone has, whether you've got young children or whether it's something you've done from a young age, and the throwback to English lit. And I think that's where we generally start to get our exposure to new texts. And it's nice to see that she's turned that into a yearly tradition. So I'll leave it there.
Great comment. Yeah, I thought this was a great piece. I thought that the rhyme and the meter, you know, as well as the thoughts, you know, of her, the way that the piece that she read affected her, you know, how it brought her to enjoy it and to look for more Dickens. And, you know, it was Christmassy because it was Dickens and it was Bob Marley. Bob Marley, listen to me. It was Marley and, you know, all the elements that suit Christmas, you know. And, yeah, I think it was great. Really nice job there. Okie dokie. Let me see now. Gray, I have one for you. I have one, two. Wow.
All right.
Well, welcome back, Pam.
Welcome back.
Okay, I have one, two, three. I have four pieces left. I don't think I'm ever going to get them all. But I'm going to do my darndest. Okay, Gray, I got a piece for you by Ekervan. And if you would not mind.
Okay, sure, but my internet's freezing here. You have to give me a second. While I shut off my Wi-Fi. Okay, here we go. A Victorian Christmas by Ekervan 01. There was something magic to be found at Christmas in Victorian England. Yule logs would smoke and mistletoe abound, skating sleigh rides and merry bells jingling. Each fireplace sported a stocking or two, and children left mince pies and brandy, so Father Christmas could sample the brew and leave cunning toys and some candy. But if the child were a bad girl or boy, there was often a bit of a hitch. The morning might find no candy or toy, just some coal or a hickory switch. The main thought, though, Christmas was jolly, with candles, crackers, and holly. End poem.
Nice read. Nice read. Rex, you want to start us off?
Another bite at the Victorian angle. I like the thought with the dropping the crackers. I haven't seen crackers in such a long time. And they're a good bit of Christmas fun, the crackers are. But I also like dropped in mince pie and brandy for Father Christmas. There's a nice touch to it. Instead of milk and cookies, give the old boy something to warm his bones and line his belly. And also the thought with you dropped in both angles here, the toys being left, cunning toys and some candy. But if the child were a bad boy or girl, there's often a bit of a hitch. The morning might find no candy or toy, just some coal or a hickory switch. Boy, is that a tale of remembrances. Yeah, you haven't behaved this year, you're getting coal in your stockings.
Right. Nice comment. Nice comment. Pam, you want to comment on this one?
I really like this one. You know, if I knew that there were mince pies and brandy being left out, I'd volunteer to do the job of Santa. That sounds so much better than... you know, this is wonderful rhyme. So I, too, also really like that he brings us back in time, England. And, you know, not only, you know, mentions, you know, the gifts and the fun that they get in the tradition, but, you know, I like that he puts in it the little tradition of, you know, if the girl or boy wasn't so good, then there would be that bit of a coal or perhaps that hickory switch. So just really a clever write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Neutron, how about you?
Well, this is a bit of a segue, but in some respects, I got coal from Santa this Christmas because I got a pouch of tobacco, so it's all up in smoke, really. but on another note, I think it hails to a simpler time, this poem, and, you know, the idea of getting one or two toys. And usually wooden, I think, from memory, and then the candy. And it brings me back to Luyu's comment about how over the decades, over the centuries, that Christmas has become quite commercialized. And a reminder of its origination. I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I mean.
Well, you're right, because we'd get those crackers. They'd be part of the after-dinner treat. You'd get to pull on them, one kid on one end and one kid on the other, and it's split and crack in the middle, and out pop a little toy, a party hat or something, or a joke. Just a little bit of fun.
Absolutely. Agreed. I thought it was a great piece, a wonderful brevity. You know, it wasn't a real long piece, and it was just well done. And, very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Gray, I'm going to start with you next go round because I'm trying to get these last couple pieces in. So, Rex, I have this read for you, dear friend.
Oh, boy.
For you.
Beyond the Stands by Liquid Mind Forever. Above your fur, your firmament, I've learned to be Yule's ornament, your wreath or magi scent of myrrh, firmament, above your fur. Beyond the tundra's ice and snow, I've dreamt of firelight's blistering glow, from mantle stockings penumbras, ice and snow, beyond the tundras. Here and there I've become the show, for children dashing near and fro, for families would love to share, I've become the show, here and there. Candy canes and popcorn streamers, rich folk, poor folk, silver beavers, gingerbread cinnamon remains, and popcorn streamers, candy canes. I've grown in stands of rugged pines. Now I come home from Walmart lines. I've reached beyond the reach of hands of rugged pines. I've grown in stands. Before the dawn on Christmas morn, beneath me lies the Christ whose scorn becomes hope's spawn as millions yawn on Christmas morn before the dawn. And poem.
Nice.
That last one is a nice twist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting my name. That was a wonderful read by Rex, and I have to say I really like this swap quatrain form, where and it adds such a really nice meter and flow to it, I like the imagery in this, especially, and I like the stanza where she says, here and there I become the show for children dashing near and fro, for families with love to share, I become the show here and there, and you know, just there's a real great Christmas gift, and it's very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Neutron, how about you?
Yeah, look, I was really impressed with the classic feel of this poem. And you go from the traditional Christmas garb with the popcorn streamers and whatnot, and then you go to Walmart, which is more of a modern construct these days. Even Australia, I think, is if it doesn't have a Walmart, we're probably getting one soon. So just a really nice feel to the poem.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Gray, how about you, hon?
You know, it had a very lyricist type feel to it. You know, it really flowed with its wording, and it had excellent imagery. Fascinating, right? Excellent read, Rex.
Yeah. I have to agree. I thought this was an excellent piece when I first read it. And, I thought Deborah did a wonderful job. And she really did pull in a bit of nostalgia in the writing. You know, well done. Okay. So the next piece I have for my next magic trick, I have, I better do this a different way. Okay, Pam. This one is for you. Pam. Okay.
Did you want me to read it, Phil?
If you don't mind, Neutron, I was waiting for Pam, but she dropped, and I wasn't sure if she was coming back or not. So, she's back.
That's all right. I'll give it a read. See how she goes.
Okay. If you don't mind, fine.
Okay. The cherry on top. A strong fragrance filled the house. Fudge and baked ginger cookies. Stovetop brewed hot chocolate. Our red cedar Christmas tree. Candy cane scented candles. Elm logs ablaze in our hearth as we snuggled in our place. Bubbling sounds filled the house. Teapot vibrates and whistles. The dog chases our cat up our red cedar Christmas tree. Candy canes snapping, crunching. Fireplace flames popping, crackling as we snuggled in our place. Yuletide sights filled the house. Holy poinsettia mistletoe. Ornaments, tinsel and lights. Our red cedar Christmas tree. Bauble on top like a cherry, gift wrapped with a white lace as we snuggled in our place. A textured touch filled the house, golding hot drinks to the tongue, pointy branches, prickly needles, our red cedar Christmas tree, silky smooth pink pajamas as we snuggled in our place. Familiar tastes filled the house, radiating from our taste buds, soft fudge brownies, spark stars on our red cedar Christmas tree, like a 9-volt battery, leaves the flavor of peppercorn as we snuggled in our place. End poem.
Nice read, Neutron. Nice read. Pam, you want to start us off?
Yes, quick. Get Pam to comment before she drops. Actually, yeah, I really enjoyed this. You know, obviously, I gave it a goal. I like how he took such a simple picture and got more out of it. And this had a really nice flow to it. A lot of wonderful Christmas imagery and scents. You know, like it had a very nostalgic feel. And I even really liked how it got clever and interesting with the last lines where he says, you know, our red cedar Christmas tree, like a 9-volt battery, leaves the flavor of peppercorn as we snuggle in our pool. He takes us back to the imagery that means the most in Christmas tradition to many families, but also how sometimes Christmas is just spending some one-on-one time with a loved one, you know, snuggling together beside that fireplace. There was a kind of a romantic tone about this that I truly appreciated. It was very well done.
Nice comments. Greg, how about you, hon?
You know, I thought the image, the detail of the imagery was fascinating. It was beautiful, right? Expressing and touching feel to it, and just beautifully read, Neutron.
Nice comment, Greg. Nice comment. Rex, how's about you?
It was kind of two lines that kind of hit the right note in the last two stanzas. A textured touch filled the house. Familiar tastes filled the house. If you read down through the whole thing, it hits on all of those notes, all of the senses, the fudge and ginger baked cookies, the note to taste and to smell and to feel. The stovetop brewed hot chocolate, again, aromas and taste. Red cedar, again, a great note in what you can smell. It offers up such a nice tone to the air. And then again, you hit on the thoughts of prickly needles and pointy branches, scalding hot drinks to the tongue. So it's meant to bite you on all of your senses to flavor in the moment. It could be any season, any holiday at all, but this one, it sings on the Christmas angle because of all those scents, those flavors, those tempting little tidbits that delight in the moment. The candy canes, the fireplace popping and crackling. It's all about sound and taste and flavor.
Nice. Nice comment, Rex. And Neutron, how's about you?
Well, Rex, you just went and stole my damn comment.
I'm sorry. I will
say that my favorite part was the candy cane snapping, crunching, and the fireplace flames popping, crackling. And the repetition as we snuggled in our place was a nice touch. And I think you get that sense of the familiar as I expand on Rex's comment. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And very well said, Pam, as well. I can understand why it got a gold.
Nice. Nice comments, everybody. Yeah, and I thought it was a great piece as well. And a well-deserved gold at that. And I have one more piece for tonight, just one. And this is by Richard Weissman. And I have an audio. So here we go.
Here's one from 1993 called Whispers of Christmas by Richard Weissman. A chilling frost has turned the eve white as whispers of Christmas fill stockings this night. Old bearded Saint Nick to chimneys far wide, while parents trim nobles with care and meek pride. The carolers this merry ever onward doth sing of glory to Jesus, the ageless child king. For those so many are hungered and cold, the whispers of Christmas of joy still unfold. And even midst bleakness of want and of shame, the mystery of love is our birthright to claim. Chant whispers to the nations each day, every year, for through them the essence of truth shall appear. That love is the meaning, the way, and the light, long as whispers of Christmas like stars paint the night. End of poem.
This is a great poem. Okay, well, I'm going to start at the top. Gray, you want to start us off?
Sure. He did a fantastic job reading that. You know, he put the emotions in there as he read it, and it was a fantastic performance on his read. But even amidst the bleakness of want and shame, the mystery of love is our birthright to claim. Chant whispers to the nation each day, every year, for through them the essence of truth shall appear. The love is the meaning, the way, and the light. Long as whispers of Christmas like stars paint the night. Just a beautiful, touching poem. Fantastic imagery.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with Gray. I totally agree. Rex, that brings me to you.
Kind of hits on that notion of getting back to the spirituality that you may have dropped away from. Remember Russia, when they were the Soviet Union. Before that, they were deeply, deeply religious people and had that stripped from them. So you kind of, when you take something from people that they're well into, and then you try and breed it out of them, that kind of offers up a convex thought to how you destroy things. And the idea is letting people have their religion, let them sing it and how they want come Christmas, and offer up the thoughts of that spirituality once more that they might have lost in the intervening years of whatever they had to go through as a country itself. I like that.
Nice. Nice, Rex. And Neutron, how about you?
I think it touches on that note that it's coming up on the boards from a number of people that love is what matters. And it doesn't matter what spirituality or faith, or if you have none at all, you can still come together at Christmas time. And there's just a really wholesome feel to this rite, which is still got its rich and grit, but still wholesome nonetheless.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Pam, thanks for me to you.
I really like what everyone had to say about this poem. I agree. It is love that matters, and people do need their freedom to worship and, you know, and have their religious freedoms. And this is a strong rite all the way through, but it's that third stanza, particularly the mystery of love, is our birthright to claim, that really stands out. So very well done.
Right. Great comment, Pam. And Richard, I thought this was a wonderful, wonderful poem. Written and very well read and enjoyable, and I think you kind of nailed it. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I want to thank you guys for calling in and keeping me company, because otherwise I'd have been feeling kind of stupid by myself. But to say thank you, Gray. Thank you, Rex. Team Neutron. Thank you, Pam. And thank you, Luyu. I appreciate you all, you know, calling in and, you know, reading and helping me read and commenting, because you're all such great commenters, and it makes a big difference in this show. And I love you all. Merry Christmas. And I hope you all
Merry
have a
Christmas.
Wonderful week. And
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Part two of his show from last Sunday, so. Everybody tune in and listen. And, y'all take care. And thanks again. Good night.
Good night,
gang.